The U.S. Constitution says that no one shall be, quote, deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, unquote. In fact, the Constitution says it twice. It says it once in the Fifth Amendment and again in the 14th. Some of the ideas deeply embedded in our legal system are rooted in that phrase. We think of having a right to our day in court, for instance. But that's only one aspect of the Due Process Clause. The language also limits the reach of courts and protects defendants. Think of a place in the United States that you have never been and have no connection with. Hawaii, Mississippi. Now imagine that someone tries to sue you in courts in that state. Your instinct may be that it seems deeply unfair. This instinct is captured in the Due Process Clause. It's also captured in Supreme Court cases that interpret that clause. In particular, one case established the modern approach. The case is called International Shoe. This case is so famous among lawyers that law students and law professors routinely take selfies in front of the old International Shoe headquarters in downtown St. Louis. So what's the big deal about International Shoe? Remember the state you have nothing to do with? Well, in International Shoe, the Supreme Court limited when defendants can be brought into a particular court. They can be sued there only if there are minimum contacts between the defendant and the forum state, quote, such that the maintenance of the suit does not offend traditional notions of fair play and substantial justice, unquote. So the Constitution limits the reach of courts through the Due Process Clause, and this reflects some deeply held notions of fairness. So far, so good. But there are complications. And they are complications that we can't avoid. What is difficult under this standard are corporations, the internet, and global trade. So, not so straightforward after all. Complication one, corporations. Where is a corporation located? This may be easy for a corporation that is organized and does all of its business in state. But as soon as you think of a company like GE or Apple or Exxon, the question becomes much harder. Courts have to look at the contact the corporation has with a particular state through its employees and stores and targeted sales. They also look at what the plaintiff is suing for to make sure the claim is connected to the state. Complication two, the internet. Picture any website and imagine you want to sue the company that is selling you something or telling you something through the website, and you want to sue them in your home court. We're still talking about due process. Courts look at the contacts between the defendant and the state where a particular court is located. When is it enough contact to have a web page that can be read from inside the state? Courts have struggled with this. Complication three, global trade. U.S. courts may not be able to reach a corporation that sells into the United States but doesn't target a particular state. The Supreme Court has held as much. In 2011, it decided a case called J. McIntyre versus Nicastro. An English company had sold a scrap metal machine into the United States. The machine ended up in New Jersey, where it injured a worker who was using it. He tried to sue in New Jersey courts. The Supreme Court ultimately threw out the case. The company had sold into the U.S. as a whole, but did not have minimum contacts with the state of New Jersey, and that's what counted. In this particular case, because of the Due Process Clause, the doors of U.S. courts were firmly closed. These are some of the many faces of due process, and I'm Verity Winship.